bless the Lord today. Amen. We thank God for the songs. We thank God for the energy. How many know that God's not dead? How many know God's not dead? He's still alive. I don't know about you, but I can feel them all over me. Amen. We thank God once again for traveling mercies as we travel over the dangerous highways. Amen. We thank God for best my wife and life, health, and strength. She showed me something last night, and you know, it's not necessary for me to give you the description, but as we watch this illustration, it's actually a true story. We don't have anything to complain about. No matter how bad our situation is, we have nothing to complain about. This person was quadruple amputee, and it was still praising the Lord. And the individual said, when I look at people that have all of their faculties, when I look at people that have all of their lips, and they complain, how many know we don't have nothing to complain about? Come on, how many know we don't have nothing to complain about? That's why the scripture says that everything that has breath. And I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anybody here today that's not breathing? If anybody's not breathing, raise your hand. So if everybody is breathing, that means we ought to all be able to say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, everybody get to your feet. Let's give God a prayer. Can we say, thank you, Jesus? God, look at the rest and come forth. I see all the flood and the devastation. Those skies and people being around and back away. And I see another illustration. Over 3,000 houses burned because of a fire. Then I go down south and I see a turbine tornado that is wiped out everything. How do you know we don't have nothing? How do you know we don't have nothing to complain about? Hallelujah. Can we all just say thank you, Jesus? Well, sometimes, I'm going to let you say that. Sometimes in your special way, we got to get out of this stuff. I mean, most of y'all don't understand this morning. It's testimony, but we know. Amen. Those of us that have been personally involved. Sometimes you just got to get out of yourself and give God a praise. Because anything you experience today could be that much worse. So can we all just give God a hallelujah? Come on, give Him a hallelujah. Give Him a hallelujah and the highest praise. This coming Saturday, get to church at 1 o'clock. So, we are all family. Yeah. One thing in Agape, let me give you an illustration. Jesus gave a parable. Y'all say, y'all need to stand up. I get your blood short. So, stand up. Jesus gave a parable. And one of the religious people said, who is my neighbor? Come on. You know what I'm talking about? Then he gave you the illustration of the rabbi and priest that was so holy and so righteous. But they saw somebody they need and they went over to the other side. Don't y'all go to the other side, they said. You with me? Amen. They went to the other side. Then there was the least likely expected was a Samaritan. Samaritans were considered outcasts. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan. But the Samaritan had. And Jesus asked them that day, he said, so who do you suppose was the neighbor? Those that what? Show compassion. So we all want to be a good neighbor. And y'all know if I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to talk to you from the word. You can't argue with the word. Right? So we want to show that, yes, we all are busy. Hallelujah. But I've been on that front row twice, my mom and my dad. When you're there, you want all the chapter. Amen. And we just bless the Lord. Thank God for all he's doing. And as they said, we changed our anniversary date. It's normally July. But our anniversary date in July falls at the same time as the national convention. So a lot of the bishops and pastors and district elders have to attend the national convention. And what happened? Let me tell you all what happened. We got to this, all right? Luke 8, chapter verses 22 through 25. Do we all have it?
Yeah.
And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. Amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Catherine. So good to see you. Amen. Verse 22 reads, now it came to pass on a
certain day.
What I like about God, God is not, he's not impromptu. God is not abstract. And it was on what kind of a day?
A certain day.
It's a fixed day. On a certain day, that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side. He said, let us what? Jesus is in something with you and he said, do it. He's going to be there till you finish.
Amen.
That's what I like about God. He said, I never leave you nor forsake you. So he said, let us go over to the other side and they march for. But as they, Lord, I thank you. How many of God sit somewhere? But as you went, the devil sent a test your way. As they sell, he well, how many know that he that keepeth Israel, neither slumbereth nor sleepeth? So when they saw he looked like he was asleep, but how many know that God never slumbers or sleepeth? And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in shepherd. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we remember this. Y'all say, well, you're supposed to be reading the scripture. I'm reading, I'm going to have to go out to as long as you got Jesus on board, you will never perish. As long as you got Jesus on your side, there is no weapon. Fortification is can't prosper. As long as you got Jesus. Anybody got Jesus on board? So she said, well, can I speak? He said, you are. here twice a year. The least you all can do is come to New York in February. Everybody's like, whoa! So the chairman said, wait a minute. She has a point. They come up here, they come down here twice a year, they've been doing it for the last 4 or 5 years, and we haven't gone to New York yet. He said, so we need to entertain this. So then, you know, we got some parliamentary people, they start speaking on like, that's this, and, you know. So I said, Chairman, no way. We withdraw that. So Bishop Hayes stood up. He said, no, we're not withdrawing anything. Bishop said, we're going to New York. He said, we can't go in February. He said, but I'm going to make my bus available. So whenever he gives me the date, we're going. So that's how we got this year. Even though it's supposed to be in 2019, we're going to come this year. So can we say praise the Lord? So then Bishop was talking to Evangelist First Lady. They call her the Queen downstairs. Oh, okay, don't say that. Okay, I take that as she ain't the Queen, she is the Queen. But Bishop said, what took y'all so long? They asked him to come to New York. So that's how we got to change the date. Because, as I said, the convention, the national convention is in the end of July. So we changed it to August. And Lord willing, we pray about that. That might be the future date. A lot less going on. Amen? So we thank God for that. So once again, we get back to the scripture. And it said, it came to pass on a certain day. Jesus said, let us go over to the challenge in most of our lives. So we become too complacent where we are. We don't want to move. Some people in an employment that they hate, but they become complacent. They're afraid to move to the other side. Some people have had no relationship with God for a long time, but they're afraid to go to the other side. Some people are just in a community that they don't like being in, but they're afraid to move to the other side. Well, the Bible lets us know that God has not given the church the spirit of fear. So, if God says move, guess what? We ought to move. So when God leads or guides us to do a certain thing, who shows up immediately? The devil. Because the scriptures say as they begin to move, out of nowhere, there came a wind. A wind of adversity. A wind that was coming against them. And they failed to realize who they had on. I know anywhere if Jesus go with me. Remember when Moses was leading the people of Israel to Canaan, to the promised land? Moses told God, he's seen God do some great things. Has anybody seen God do some great things in your life? Have anybody seen God work miracles in your life? But as long as we got God, we should So we quote, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Now, okay, let's go with this. Oh, I can't do that. That's fear. That, well, I'm going to church tonight. Well, that's fear. Just like the Lord, when he was on board, immediately the devil sent a stumbling block. He sent a challenge. How many of us began to walk with God? And immediately, the devil sent a challenge. So the disciples were afraid. The disciples were full of fear. And they went to Jesus, and they said, Master, how can you perish with God? That's a lie from the adversary. So many saints of God are walking around in fear, and they fail to realize God is on. Then Jesus said, right now I'm with you. He said, but in a little while I'm going to be in you. He said, if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. He said, but if I go away, I'm going to send a Comforter in my name. And that Comforter in my name is going to be in you, a well of water springing up into you. He said, when the Comforter comes, he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Somebody said, well, I'm so afraid. Do you have the Holy Ghost? If you got the Holy Ghost, there's God in you. You can go anywhere. As long as God is. Somebody said, well, I don't go down those streets. Now, we don't tempt the Lord. Amen. The scripture said, don't tempt the Lord thy God. But if God sends you on a mission, if God sends you somewhere, don't you turn back because of fear. Amen. You got to go forward. Paul said, having done all to stand, let us stand. Having our feet charged with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, and the belt of truth. But he never protected the devil. Because God never intended for the saints of God to turn around. The scripture says, no man ever put his hand to the plow and don't turn around. All right, let's get down to the word of God. Amen. Verse 25, where we're going to get our message. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And that's my question to you today. Forget about all of the things you don't have. Where is your faith? And the apostle said, what manner? A man? Listen, if God can speak to the wind and the waters and say, peace. If you cross reference in Mark, the fourth chapter, we're not going to go there. Mark says, a great storm. Right? He didn't say it was a little storm. When they got in the boat, he said, a great storm. I wonder today, how many of us feel like we're in a storm of life? Winds are blowing all around. Seem like there's no way out. But when they called the Lord, God transformed the great storm into a great calm. So a lot of us are figuring out, why did my life change? You got to let God do that. You got to let God fix it. But the question is, you can't do it if you have no faith. And Mark account of this, he said, oh, ye are little faith. Then the Lord qualifies faith. Amen. A lot of times we say, well, if I had big faith, I could do anything. The Lord says, if you have faith that's a grain of a the mustard seed is the smallest of all this. Now listen, God says our faith should be like a mustard seed. The mustard seed is the smallest. But when it is planted and when it germinates, when it grows, it shoots into the greatest. Right? That's what our faith. It might be small, but keep watering. Keep taking care of your faith. And when it begins to grow, and then I heard that someone said, my soul is, what is your faith? If your faith is in man, if your faith is in the government, if your faith is in anything other than God, you would be a nervous wreck. But I heard Paul say, if God be for you. Does anybody know God is for us? He called us a special people. He said we are a holy people. So to God we are special. You can say anything else negative about me, but I don't listen to your opinion. Because God said I am special. Anybody know you're special? Come on, anybody know you're special?
Now the problem with this rich man,
God said, I'm not in it. I didn't give it to him. He said, who things are they ought to be? Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasures, but is not. So is he that layeth up treasures for him, but is not. You know what he's saying? The answer, where is your faith? Is your faith in God? Is your faith in your abundance? Is your faith in God? Is your faith in what you have accomplished? Now, let's look at this parable a little deeper. When Jesus speaks of the rich farmer and his goods, when he says, thou fool, he means you are without proper reason. You don't have the proper priority. You don't consider everything that you have, but I heard Paul tell Timothy, we brought nothing into this world. And it's for certain we won't carry. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord has given, and how many know God, as fast as he gave it to you, he can. For where your treasure is, I said where your treasure is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the fool has not the capability. Or in essence, the Bible says the fool has set it apart. The fool only sees themselves. When the fool fails to pay attention to the things that really matters, brothers and sisters, listen to me. The most important thing that counts today is your soul.
Yes, sir.
Everything else would perish. Everything else would be gone. There's one thing that will live on throughout eternity, and that is your soul. So don't focus on everything that's going to pass away.
Yes, sir.
But I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be like the rich man, the certain rich man that Jesus talked about in Lazarus. When I depart from this life, I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now to be a faithful servant means you have to do what the master says.
Yes, sir.
So the Bible says in the same illustration, Jesus said, you cannot serve. Come on, you can't serve. You cannot serve God and riches and men. Either your heart is with God or your heart is in treasures. Either your heart is on God's side or your heart is on the other side. I don't know about you, but I like what Moses said. I wonder today, who's on? I said, who's on? The Lord's side. So the fool can't see God for seeing the abundance. The fool is the one who thinks God does not see him. Because the rich man said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, but he never made reference to God. So when I say, where's your faith? Who's making reference to God? Who said, well, Lord, I'm not sure what's the reference I can take, should take. So I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. He said, be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't be a fool. Right? Because the fool is wise in his own eyes. But how do you know God can see so much further than we can? But the fool gets caught up in his own situation. The fool refuses to acknowledge God. The fool says, you know what? Look at all I'm accomplishing. Look at all I have. God says, I'm a fool. Well, what made him a fool? He forgot about the soul. The soul, when it comes to God. So the fool thinks God doesn't see him. What is the source of a fool's blindness? It is a preoccupation. the affairs of this life. Our preoccupation with what? The affairs of this life. Whether it's consumed with gain, health, or whatever. Amen. The fool practices worship. But it's not God worship. It is self worship. I didn't call to Timothy in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Beware, because perilous times we have come, for men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. That's the fool. The fool can't seek God because the fool holds on to his wealth. And as a matter of fact, I got to ask you a speaking engagement far away, and the priest said, well, I can't give you but so much. I said, you don't give me nothing. Amen. I'm a cup because God's been good to me. Amen. And whatever I don't get, I ain't gonna get from the pastor either. Whatever I don't get, I know God will make it up, right? Because didn't Jesus say, freely you have received, and freely you are to give? Amen. I'm just saying, I can't get caught up with the affairs and trying to get all my stuff here. All the thing I want to hear the Lord say is,
well done. Yes,
you know,
yes.
Hallelujah. If I don't ever impress it on you, come on. Hallelujah. If you don't ever pat me on my back, as long as I can hear the Lord say, well done. As long as I can hear the Lord say, well done, my good man. You say, you've been faithful always. He said, all that stuff I gave you, you took care of. You weren't neglectful. You did not leave me out. He said, you did not have. Has God called us to do anything? The biggest thing the devil will use to hold everybody back is fear. You know why? Because as long as you fear, that spirit is not of God. Because God never gave the church the spirit of fear. What spirit did God give the church?
The Holy Ghost.
Right? And what's with the Holy Ghost? Just a couple more things. The fool isn't prepared for our cause. The fool. Then the rich man said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He said, but I want to call you tonight. But the fool wasn't prepared. Right? Because the fool consumed his time in what he could get, what he could do. But the fool failed to realize that it's appointed unto man once to die. And after death, there will be a. Somebody said, I don't believe. All right, now let's go to Luke, the 16th chapter, where it goes in. Now we're going to talk about another rich man. So I don't believe after death. You know, a lot of people say, after you die, you won't join the outside. People say, yeah. After you die, you just dream on forever and ever. That's not scripture. The problem that we have in church today is there's so much doctrine, so much wind, so much confusion, because people are no longer following God. Mm-hmm. They're snatching everything out of the sky and everywhere else. They're being deceived. Luke, the 16th chapter, the 19th verse reads, there was a... So we got all the... Only Luke talks about the rich. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fair. He was what? A certain rich man. But the problem of the other rich man was he was not rich towards God. Saints, brothers, sisters, and friends, whatever you do, make it up in your mind, I got to be rich toward God. Only God has a heaven or hell to put you in. Don't ever get to the place where you fear man more than God. At one time, God told me one time, he said, you fear man more than me. I said, Because it's my job to lead you the way of blessing. It's my job to lead you to God. Well, I would get saved, but if I get saved, what's my family going to think? Who do you fear? God or? I'm so confused. I don't understand the Bible, so I just don't want to give my life to God yet because I'm just so confused. But God said, I came to save the world from there. So who do you fear? God or? Or me? God is based, and listen, I'm talking about what God speaks to you. I'm not talking about this stuff you had some bad teacher and stuff, went to sleep and you had a nightmare, a dream, and all of a sudden you woke up and God ain't in it. You know with me? I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about you know God spoke to you.
Come on.
You know God spoke to you. Matter of fact, I told my wife, God spoke to me the other day. I said, oh, I ain't gonna say nothing till it happens. So don't ask what it was because I ain't telling you. I'm talking about when you go to sleep and God in your dream, you wake up, you praying and sleeping and talking. You know that's of God. But how many have God spoken something into us and we were so excited till we told somebody, say, ah, that ain't God. Oh, okay. Who do you fear? God, all right? God said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room to receive if you pay your tithe and offering again. My tithe and offering and gift. I got to hold on to what? The church not enough. We don't get to the church. We get to who? In obedience. Yeah. I don't mess with this too much, but God took me here. I want to claim this. I'm going to say it for a second. So then he asked him now, I said, well, man, now when you steal, nobody can see that, right? When you steal. But when you rob, that means you go to God's face and say, hey, this is yours, but I. Somebody like this. Come on, y'all help me out. Come on, y'all all what you think. We are. When you're robbed, that means you take it from God. But it belongs to God, but I can't keep my tithes and offering. Who do you fear? Hallelujah. All right. I ain't messing with my God. Y'all ain't today. But I'm just saying, who do you fear? God. The church has lost focus of God and His Word. Everything else is supplanted. Everything else is taking the place of God. Where it is, no more. All right, let's finish here. So the scripture says, and there was a certain beggar named, which lay at the foot. Now the world says the rich man had it all. And that old poor beggar ain't got nothing. But what does God say? Where is the rich man's whole existence consisting in what he had? The poor beggar. All he had God. You know, take everything from me. Then if they take everything, but Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You can take everything else. Because when you take everything else, it doesn't matter. But when you take God, God is the only thing that can help you start all over again. How many of us have lost that? How many of us haven't been faithful to God? How many of us have turned our back on God? He's the only one. He's the only one that can help you start. Thank you. there.
Yes.
So he goes on to say the rich man and the beggar, they both died. Verse 23 said, and in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, verse 23, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his boat. Now we're talking in the world of the spirit. So somebody said, I don't need that. I believe. I can show you a whole lot because I don't have enough today to go through all that. All right? And he came and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He said, I can't get out. I'm locked in. The fool practices self-worship. The fool only sees himself. Go back to the 26th chapter, and we're going to go to the 52nd verse. Right? And what did Jesus just say? Though one rose from the dead, what? They still wouldn't believe. Can we say amen? Let me see if I think this is 26. It found a place for you. Now Jesus said what? You're going to go to the 27th chapter and verse 15. Okay, of this 27. Jesus just told him, he said, if one rose from the dead, what? They wouldn't what? They wouldn't believe. Alright, so now the 27th chapter, 50 verse, Jesus, when he had died, cried again with a loud voice and what? He yelled at what? The ghost. Now, watch this. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Right? Jesus said if they went back from the dead, then what? Wouldn't believe. Then it says in the 53rd verse, and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the what? Holy City and appeared unto. You mean when Jesus died and was resurrected, people came out of the grave? Yes. And they went into the city and appeared to. But did they believe? No. You got to believe God's word for your. So I said, how do you know? Other than the Bible. God's word is infallible. God's word is true. You mean they went back to the holy city and showed them? Now listen, they weren't showing themselves to strangers. Listen. Right. Because if you see a stranger, I don't know if they would get alive. So when they went back to those that. But did they believe? No. God's word is so complete with examples of folks in all, but let's all see. Where is your faith? Who do you have full confidence in? I trust God as the elders and ministers come forward. I trust God. I believe God. I don't care what anyone else says contrary to God. Can we say this together? Think, you know, some things you have to speak into existence. Because life and death are in the. Some things you got to speak into existence. Can we say this together? Say, I believe God.
I believe God.
Or say it like you really. I believe God. And that God will do just what he said. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked by any other voices. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy